4 and verse 1. Philippians 4, 1, sorry. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eurytus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do in the God of peace shall be with you. We live in a world of extreme excess. We have access to all sorts of things. And many of us in our homes, we have an abundance of things. And even if we find ourselves without, we still have quite a lot. What does it take to keep a human being alive? Pondered for just a second. What does it take to keep a human being alive? Food, water, shelter, right? Now, beyond that, we've got this little thing we call medicine. I like it. You like it. Right? As long as we've got people around that can do good medicine, hey, praise the Lord for that. So let me ask you this. Do you have food? Well, yes, you do. Now, we can consider the food that we have a lot. This morning I came out of the shower just a little bit too late. I can't remember what I was coming back from. But anyway, I came into the kitchen too late because out of the back window, the whole family spotted an 8-point buck. Not in the yard, but on the other side of the fence, just right up along the fence line, 8-point buck. Now, that's dinner, isn't it? For some of you, you're like, I know exactly how to cook that. I know what to do with that. Now, also, we've got these things in our yard. We've got acorns, so I've got chipmunks and squirrel. That's good eating, too, isn't it? Now, when I say food, how many of you are thinking 8-point bucks, squirrels, and chipmunks? You're thinking cheeseburger, roast, you're thinking chicken, you're thinking those sorts of things, aren't you? But in all honesty, in the world we have today, that's what we're used to. But for hundreds, thousands of years, you ate what you could get your hands on. And for many, that's still a reality today. You eat what you can get your hands on. Us, we've got fast food all over the place. Us, we've got grocery stores up and down the road. We've got everything surrounding us. We can have whatever we want. You can not even just have food, but you can have things that only kind of look like food. You could stop at the grocery store on the way home today, get you a bag of Cheetos. That ain't food, but it's tasty and you could eat it. There you go. I mean, think about it. We've got so much food. We put cheese on the pizza and in the crust. We live in a world of extreme excess. Some of you, you have a car. Some of you have two cars. Some people are blessed enough to have hobby cars, right? Cars that you take out on the weekend. I've known some men that got a hobby car and a project car. And when the hobby car breaks down and they get the project car running again, the project car becomes the hobby car. The hobby car becomes the project car. And they're always in the garage. Now, I'm not picking on any of those things. But I want you to look at it and I want you to go, we live in a blessed society. We live in a blessed society, and we have more than we need. I started the day off with a suit coat, realized I didn't need it. I got less clothes on now. But I've got optional clothing over there in the office I could put on. You understand where we are? But yet many people today, they lack contentment. Brother Dennis brought that message. I wish that devotion, I wish the sermon either came a week earlier or the devotion came a week later, right? But man, gratitude. And it goes beyond gratitude because you can be very grateful for the things you have and still not be content with what you have and still want things. Now, we could talk about things. We could also talk about our situation in life. You know, I think about this. Wives, you ever get irritated at your husbands for something they've left out or something they did? You know, they left a, if your husband's like me, he probably left a cabinet door open this morning. Probably got ready, might have left some clothes just next to the hamper, not in the hamper. He missed, right? And you might have gotten frustrated at him. Aren't you glad he's there? And for those who knows what it's like to not have somebody there, be content with the people that are still there. Because we'll fool ourselves. Well, I've lost. That means I have less. God is still blessing you. Brother Lance at the conference this weekend, he came over and he was showing me pictures of back when we were all young. And he showed this picture of me. I had to be 15 years old. And we put it right up next to Xander's face. And I go, oh boy. Oh boy. Somebody turned to me. They go, where'd that young man go? I go, he's buried under here somewhere. He's buried somewhere. Those were the good old days. You ever sell yourself that? All the good old days. Hey, don't you have a day today? You doing anything good with it? Maybe that's why you're not having good days is because you're not making good with the days that you have. Perhaps you've fallen victim to what Brother Charlie mentioned this morning. Maybe you've allowed distraction after distraction into your life to where the devil's now running it. To where you've gotten yourself so fastened into the sedation of what the world has for you, you're not aware of what's going on. Maybe you're not having good old days because you filled it with worry, regret, and pondering of the way things used to be. And you filled your days with that chair and with that television and with that cell phone. And that's why you're not having good old days. I remember we used to go to Bible conferences and we'd have to bring out extra chairs. They'd pack the place. Or on a Sunday morning, you'd go into a church and it would be filled. Well, where were you on Sunday? Oh, you know, I had that trick knee of mine. You ever have a trick knee like that? I've met some men, their knees are so tricky, they'll try to go to church, they'll end up out on the golf course. That's a trick. That's a good trick. You got that trick knee, they'll go to get up for church, and they'll sit down on the couch for just a little while, and before they know it, they're in their pajamas, and they're watching the ball game, and they're hollering and cussing. That's a good trick. That's a tricky knee. Maybe that's what the problem is. We're not content with what we have. It's become blasé. It's become just a regular thing. Well, why would I go to church expecting something? Well, I tell you what, if you don't come to church with a heart for repentance, a heart to grow closer to God, you are wasting it. That is not contentment. You're wasting it. I'm not going to pretend to be the best pastor ever. I'm not going to pretend to be the best preacher ever. I know I ain't even good on most days, but listen. When the word of God is preached, don't waste it. Don't throw it away. I was sitting there on Friday night, driving home, and I had all of Saturday planned in my head. I'm going to get into the church, and I'm going to switch out the lights downstairs, and I'm going to go out to my yard, and I'm going to do up the leaves, and I'm just going to have to miss the Saturday morning conference, and that's no big deal, because people do that all the time. They come on Friday night, they don't show up for Saturday, or a lot of people will show up on Saturday, they won't go. That's fine. I couldn't go to sleep with that thought. I couldn't. Because how often have I sat there bemoaning people not showing up to things? I'm one of the people that boohoo and cry. Listen, if y'all just came to conferences, they'd be packed the way they used to be. Listen, if we just came to church on Sunday, if we did the things we were supposed to do, the good old days would be here again. And by the way, there are young people in the room who these are the good old days for. These are the days they're growing up in church, and what are we showing them? Apathetic to one of the greatest gifts God gave us, and that's the ability to come together and preach. There ain't no cops waiting in the parking lot to shut us down. There's no one driving by thinking ill of us. There might be one or two, but those are the oddballs. We're welcome to do what we're doing here. Let us be content. Let us take advantage of what we have. Whether it is your situation or it is the opportunities presented to you or it is the things you have, be content. 1 Timothy 6:5, please go there with me. 1 Timothy 6:5, we're going to do some work there. And it says, perverse disputings, forgive me, I know you're still turning 1 Timothy 6:5. It says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. That's the whole prosperity gospel, isn't it? That's Kenneth Copeland in a nutshell, isn't it? Well, if you're rich like Joel Osteen, God is happy with you. God wants you to be rich. That's what it... Gain is not godliness. Now, if you have, that doesn't mean anything bad about you. It is your attitude in the having. It is your attitude and behavior in the getting. The idea that I must become rich so I can become godly. The idea that I must do this or do that so I can have all these things so all the people can see how God has blessed me. That ain't godliness. That ain't helpful. Reading on, it says, from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You show me a man with a $1 million yacht, and you've shown me just a man with a $1 million yacht who might let me drive it, right? I've got two private jets. Take me anywhere I want. All right, well, while you're on one, can I just, for a second, let me, you know what I mean? It don't mean nothing. Oh, it's nice. Oh, it's grand. But it don't mean nothing. You ask anybody out there with $1 billion in the bank account, you're happy. More than half of them are going to say no. Now they're happy on a yacht. they're happy in a private swimming pool. Or they're unhappy in a private swimming pool. But all the same, it's not gain to have riches. The Bible says they're godliness with contentment is great gain. My ability to obey God, my attitude matching God's attitude, my will matching God's will, plus contentment, to be able to look at what I have and say, this is my daily bread, and this is good. That's gain. That'll take somebody who's eating, who's living off of ramen, eating in their or living in their parents' basement. That'll make them happier than the person in the mansion. And if that person ever makes it over to a mansion, if they still maintain their godliness and contentment, they'll be just as happy. And they could lose that money, and guess what? They'll still be happy. Why? Because they've got godliness and contentment. Paul said himself, I know how to be rich. I know how to be poor. I can do all things through Christ. We must learn to be content. Content. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's how my parents, whenever I was young and I was a brat, and I was threatened to run away, I would tell my mom, I'm going to run away. She goes, all right, but you can only take things out of the house that you brought into the house. What does that mean? The things that you were born with, those are the only things you can take out with you. What about my clothes? Nope, can't have those. She says, you can walk out with everything you were born with. And for fear of having to walk out without my clothes, I stayed home. She says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We're going to go over to this place. We're going to go over to that place. And we're going to purchase clothing. How much is this dress? $6,000. How much is that one? $10,000. How much is that one? $12,000. Oh, how wonderful. Put it in a bag. Here's the card. Oh, what's that? We're all driving this kind of car? Oh, wait. They've come out with a new one. Time to trade the old one in with less than 24,000 miles on it. And let us purchase the new one. Or let me give this one to the gardener. Let me give this one to a relative, to my brother, to my in-laws. Let me purchase another. And you know what they find in all of their buying and all their selling? No happiness. Just possessions and cash going back and forth, going back and forth. What is it? Is it good? Is it helpful? Is it going to give us what we need? Absolutely nothing. Let us be happy with food. What kind of food? You ever hear this one? We've got food at home. Mom, can we have McDonald's? We got food at home. Now, how many of you, don't raise your hands, it's okay for you to just keep this a secret. How many of you have gone out grocery shopping and you spent $200 more? For those of us with kids, we know it's never $200. If we could get groceries for $200 in our house, that'd be nice. But anyway, you come home, you load up the car with groceries. You bring it on home. And on the way home, you stop off and grab a pizza. Now, think about that behavior for a second. Now, I know that I can talk about this and not be awful because you can see me and you know. All joking aside, this is not a sign of contentment. Am I right? It's not a sign of contentment. You've got $200-$300 worth of groceries in your back of your car, and you're in the drive-thru at McDonald's. What was wrong with the burgers and the lunch meat and the things that would have costed you a huge percentage less to have made in your house? Well, don't you see, there's the arches, the but. If I use the app, I get this. And Taco Bell, they've got those sauce packets, and I like to put those in my desk drawer. And we fool ourselves up and down. Well, you got to go out to eat on a Sunday. Well, you got to go out to eat on this and go do this and go do that. I'm just preaching on my own sin. Hang on. I'll get back to you in a second. We mess around with stuff. But aren't you content? I mean, my goodness, we go to the grocery store. We've got all this food. How about this? Before you go to the grocery store, any of you ever have to throw out food? And I know exactly where you throw the food out to. Let me guess. You reach down to that bottom drawer. You know what I'm talking about? Vegetable hospice. You pull that out and you throw that away. You put more in there. Just as that is the trash can's waiting room down there, right? What if we reach down in there and we grab stuff out? And we were to apply that and hold off on the other things. You go down to my office, man, if you're ever looking for a pen. But yeah, I'm going to rephrase this. I was about to say, if you're looking for a pen, look in my office. If you're looking for a pen, don't touch mine. No. Man, I got pens. That has never stopped me from buying pens. Anybody here, you're readers? You like books? You love having books? You like books? How many of you here have bought a book while you had two or more unread still sitting there? Yeah. How about this? You never buy clothes or shoes or anything. You still got stuff with the tag, and you're buying more, and you haven't even started using the other stuff. Yeah. Is that contentment? It's not contentment. We have food, we have raiment, but we're not content. We have entertainment options, and we're not content. And it's not about need. My point here is it's not about need. It is a lie we tell ourselves that we will get something if we just had something we didn't have. Oh, if the Lord would bless me to have this promotion. Oh, if the Lord would have put me in this situation. Or if the Lord put me in that situation. Oh, I would have done so much better. Aren't you glad for what you have? Many of us aren't. I would say all of us could point to one area where we said, I have not been content. I have wished for things I did not have. But then when I really stopped to think about it, there were things where that need was already met, where that desire could have been met in other ways. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. Oh my, people who practice a lack of contentment, do they not give in to temptation all the time? I know more about marketing than most people. I've studied it. I've done a lot of research on it. But I'll tell you this. You show me a commercial with a Coca-Cola, and I want a Coca-Cola, don't you? They make that look so bubbly and cold and nice and refreshing. You're looking at a commercial like, man, you know what I need? I haven't drinking an actual Coca-Cola in a long time. But you show me a commercial, I want one again. I don't even like regular Coca-Cola. I'll get the Mexican Coca-Cola if I'm going to do that. But you watch that, oh, that'd be nice. Or you see a car commercial. Your car's fine. Your car gets you everywhere you go. You might have even just put parts on the car. This right here, we just fixed up the van. I'm in a sweet spot. I am never more happy with the vehicle we have than when I just spent money on it. You tell me right now, we'll keep that car for another 10 years. Xander will drive that car away from our house at this point. You know what I mean? But man, every now and then you turn on the commercial, you'll see this brand new car, this car that looks nice, this car that can do things. And you go, my oh my, isn't that nice? It drives itself, it parks itself, it puts gas in itself. Wouldn't that be cool? You got out of the car, you unloaded the groceries, you tapped the side of it, it activated, it drove off to the gas station, filled itself up, got its own oil change, and came on right back. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You show me a car like that, I might be tempted. No, we fall into these things. And what does it say here? That the wicked, they fall for this stuff. They fall into temptation. They fall into the snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. When you teach yourself to have everything that you want, you'll never be content. You must learn to tell yourself no. You must look at the things that you have and say, this works just fine. This is good. Now, I'm not saying you never buy a new thing. Of course, you're going to buy a new thing. And I'm not saying you don't have a hobby. Go ahead and have a hobby. Invest a little bit in some stuff like that. Some of that stuff you need just to keep the brain going well. You need an outlet like that. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying that when we give our lives into impulses, we've got a problem. When we can't sit there and put a budget to things. When we can't sit there and say, hey, listen, this may be an experience that I want, but it's not one God gave me, so I'm fine. Whether the things are in our control or not, we should be able to look at what we have and be content. And if the opportunity arises, there it is. Oh man, we had a good one yesterday. We had somebody come up by the house. They're doing tree work up and down the street. Guy came up to the house. He put a door hanger on there. And bless his heart, I don't know if the kids did it or if the wind did it. Knocked the little door hanger he put on the thing, got knocked off. And it was just laying there right in front of the door. So when he came up, he saw his door hanger just laying there on the ground. And he goes, oh, hey, well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. Do you want help with the leaves? And I said, no, I'm good. Why? Because I don't mind doing the work. I don't mind doing the work. I got a fancy toy, so let's face it, I kind of want to do the work, right? He goes, well, I'm not entirely sure. You know, one person could do as well as a job as we can. So now I kind of have to. He's coming back on Monday, so I kind of have to have it done. And I kind of have to do a better job. I'm not his pastor, but teaching humility should still be my responsibility, I believe. How about you let us trim your trees? All right, well, look at this one. How much for this one? $2,500. I tell you what, you hang on to that, sir. I ain't ready for that. Man, it sure would be nice to just be able to sit there and do this and do that and then be able to sit there and say, hey, listen, you know what? It'd be nice for us to do this or do that or have this or have that. If you can, that's fine. If you can't, don't. And be content. And be content with it. You know, we can't do any cosmetic work right now in the house. It needs real work. And we're doing it. We're doing the real stuff that needs to be done. And one day when things settle down, Lord willing, they will settle down, we'll go ahead and we'll start doing with the fun stuff. But you know what that's like. You've lived that every day. You do the stuff you got to do. And when there's no longer stuff you got to do, you get to do the stuff that you can do. And that's life. most folks, they fall into all manner of temptation in this. You know what he told me? Well, you know, we take credit card. Now, if there's been one thing that has been disastrous to the American people, and really the whole world, has been the phrase, we take credit card. That magical little plastic rectangle that makes the money show up. And then you don't have to see it missing from your bank account. You don't have to see its effect on you. Now listen, I'm not picking on it, but you know how some people can be. I knew somebody that had 7 credit cards, and not a dollar to be spent for any of them. That's rough. They ate out for lunch every day. Not only did they eat out for lunch, but they had it delivered to the office every day. You ever buy a $5 sandwich and have it delivered? That is now a $20 sandwich. I have never met a sandwich worth 20 bucks. Right? And I love sandwiches. It ain't worth it. But that's what they would do. Oh, we take credit card. Oh, so I'll buy all of this. I'll buy all of that. And I will just pay that. Listen, if you don't have the money to pay for it now, you're likely not going to have money to pay for it later. Oh man, one of the greatest temptations, the greatest tricks to a lack of contentment and to that temptation. The biggest trap is that credit card, because now you owe more. And that money's just there and it's always being owed. Oh, what a hot mess that it quickly becomes. But if we are content, we are willing to wait. Right, then we can have those things. Reading on, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Going back to that verse of the love of money. When people love money, it's typically so that they can buy things, right? Some people love money because they just love to Scrooge McDuck it, right? Just put it in a big old tank and look at it. They like it for that. Their money is their pet and they like to take care of it. They like to look into the aquarium of their bank account and see that it's still there and it's still growing and they're happy. But there's a massive amount of people that just like it for the sake of spending it. To the point to where that love will make you do things you would not rationally normally do. We had a lady one time, she got fired because she had moved somebody in but didn't move them into the system. She marked the apartment as one under severe construction, which means that it couldn't show up on any of our lists when we would go to rent it. Now, it wasn't a property I worked at, but again, this is just something that was brought up to us. She had moved somebody into it, but marked it as being vacant and under construction. And she told the person, please pay with money order, but don't fill it out outside of signing it. We will handle the rest with a stamp. And that stamp being her signing her name to where that $700 and some odd went to her. She did that for almost $250,000. Or once it was found out over the years. That person's lease would come to be renewed. She would have that person move out. She would non-renew them, meaning they can't renew their lease. She would take that apartment, flip it, get it back up, mark it as active again. That one would go. She'd find another one. She'd bring that one down and do the same with that one. Just kept doing it over and over and over. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Would you believe she spent every dime of it and then some? Hey, how about our lottery winners? You ever know a lottery winner? I've heard a lot of stories about people who win the lottery. They always end up in more debt than they started off with. Football players are the same. For a football player, basketball player, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, and for a while there, they weren't really paying attention in the organization. They were just giving these kids huge sums of money who didn't grow up in areas that knew what to do with money, and they'd go out there and just Shaquille O'Neal it. They'd be out there buying cars and this and that and throwing all their money away. Love money is a terrible thing. Love of it will do terrible things for you. Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Some people put all their security in whether or not they have it. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. There are more important things to do in life than deal with stuff. There's more important things to do in life than worry about the things you wish you had. We have things. I want you to remember the children of Israel as they were going through the wilderness, as they were walking around, and what was it that God gave them? Now, some of you, you're going to have to go home and cook. Wouldn't it be nice if you already had some nice honey-flavored bread there? Maybe a little bit of quail. He did quail. No water. No water bill. Just water whenever the Lord gave it to you. There's some water. See, God provided for them. But them, they would rather go back under slavery for some carrots and or some cucumbers and leeks and onions. Oh man, we miss these things. Those Egyptians were going to kill them. They're perfectly okay with it. Or consider Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, who never had to work a day in their lives. Adam and Eve, who never had to learn how to, never had to learn husbandry, never had to learn agriculture, never just walk on by a banana. Hey, honey, what are we having for dinner today? All right, we're good. Never had to cook anything, never had to worry about inclement weather, never got rained out, never had to do wash. I think of all the things Adam and Eve never had to do. Adam and Eve never had to sit there in a doctor's office. Adam and Eve never had to worry about a cracked tooth. Adam and Eve never had to worry about an animal misbehaving itself. They had it perfect. Never dealt with the things that we dealt with today. And the rule was what? You can have anything but this one thing. They lacked contentment. Oh, you know, they could walk with God, talk with God. They walked in the cool of the day with God. But man, we could be as God. And they fell for it. A lack of contentment has always been man's Achilles heel. It has always been our Achilles heel. We've always failed in that. So for us to sit here and say, oh, I'm perfectly content, that is a big thing to be able to say. We have daily manna. You have food. Some of us food in abundance. You have shelter. Some of us shelter in abundance. But hey, just because the manna's there, doesn't mean you take it all. When we look back at that passage of Scripture, we won't go there now because of time, but we look back at the rules for the manna. Only take what you need, don't store it, because by tomorrow it'll be ruined, right? Some of us, we know exactly how much we need to sustain our bodies. We still take more. Some of us know exactly what we need to clothe our bodies. We still take more. Some of us know exactly what we need in this area or that area. We still take more. Just because it's there don't mean you need to have it. Just because it's possible doesn't mean you should be a part of your life. We need to be able to look at what we have and call it sufficient. Sufficient. Well, it's not exactly the way it would be. You know, I'm not having steak as often as other people do. You know what? How often do you need steak? Maybe if you were happy and if you're happy with the sufficiency God has given you, maybe then you would be blessed enough to have that. Maybe you'd be given more. Maybe you'd have the resources to do more. If we only simply obeyed and we saw what we had as sufficient, and perhaps you would not need or feel the need to have those things. Brother Reynolds told me a story yesterday at lunch. He told me a story about a guy that he'd go to the hardware store with, and he wanted this, this wheel device, this cart thing. And he was looking at it, and he saved up for a year to get this whatever cart thing that it's supposed to be. Saved up for a year for it, and he was ready to go buy it. And he stood there, and he'd visited it all throughout the year, just looking to see if it's on sale, checking the price, this and that. And he finally went up to it, and he's looking at it, and he goes, you know, I could make that. Now, some of you men said that you've done that. Brother Holmes looks over and goes, "You saved all, you saved for a year." He goes, "Yeah, but if I make it, I could keep the money." And he goes, "I've got all this stuff in the backyard. I'll take the wheels off of this. I'll take the frame off of that. I'll move this over here." He goes, "I can make it." Could you imagine? But you know what? That's what a heart that is happy with what they have. That's what they'll do. Now, my father-in-law, he could probably go out, purchase any vehicle he wants. He keeps coming home with these trucks and these things with manual windows. The thing could tow the Statue of Liberty, but it has manual windows, right? I think this last truck, he finally got power windows on it. I told him he was going soft. He was going soft. Listen, we be happy with these things. Be happy with them. You know, for every relative I have that can be happy with what they have, I've got people who are unhappy with things. You know, I knew a man who was getting rides everywhere he would go and walks everywhere he goes and has a really hard time. And I say, "Hey, listen, you could go and you could buy this car." "Well, I don't like that one. It's not new enough." I go, "Yeah, but it's got more horsepower than your shoes." You know, the guy was walking. He was walking 2 or 3 miles just to get to work. And it was getting cold. And I go, "Man, just you got this?" "Yeah, well, you could go do this. You can go get it." "Yeah, but it's not new enough." "You can't afford new enough. This is good." Right? And I've met people, "Hey, listen, I understand that you're having trouble with clothing. This happened, that happened. We had a fire in one of our units, and we had this clothing bank. And this lady, she lost all of her things. I kid you not, lost all of her things down there in Westland, lost it all. She's going through the clothing bank, and she's searching through things, and there's tons of things in her size. And we had somebody out there manning the area helping people, because when you just lose everything you have, you lose your mind with it. So we had somebody out there helping them. Hey, what's your size? What do your kids need? What are your kids like? How much of what do you need? How many people you got in your house?" Just making sure they walked out and thought of everything. She walked through and we brought up several things that were her size and didn't want any of it. Want to know why? Wasn't the brand she liked. Had the wrong label on it. Somebody came up and told me that. I go, "She has nothing. And she's still counting tags." It astounds me. It astounds me. Be happy with what is there. Oh, even in our situations, we bemoan that things are not the way we wish them to be. Or we deal with loss. We deal with regret. We deal with things falling apart in our body. "Oh, Lord, I wish things were different." Be happy with what you have. Again, I know that's hard. Trust me, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to deal with loss and sit there and try to convince yourself that everything around you is okay. But when you are thankful for what you have, when you're thankful with what God gives you, healing comes faster. Be content with what God has given you. Be content with the responsibilities He has given you. God's given you responsibilities to your church. Be content with them. And when I say content, look at them. "Oh, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what my life should be about. My church membership, my service to the Lord, this is what my life is about." We should see it that way. And not try to sit there. You talk to so many young people, and so many of their problems deal with their identity, how they see themselves, how other people see them. It all comes from a lack of contentedness. "Well, my parents never gave me a new car. My parents never sent me to an Ivy League college. My parents weren't this. My parents weren't that, blah, blah, blah. And I don't have this going on. I don't have that going on. So I've got to invent interesting things about me." No, lay it aside. Be content with what you have. Be content with who you are. Oh, man, haven't we struggled there? "I wish I was this. I wish I was that." I tell you what, I know that heartache. "I wish I came from this. I wish this was more secure. I wish this. I wish that." Be content with the responsibilities God has given you. Because what you have is amazing. What you have is valuable. Your responsibilities in your church, your family, your personal life, those things are valuable. and valuable beyond measure. Don't you know that any devil out there wishes they had your forgiveness? Not you to forgive them, but the forgiveness that God gave you. God does not turn man down. Those that the Lord wakes up are all getting salvation. Those of us that are saved, we'll all have our sins covered. It's all covered. You know the one group of people who'll never be able to repent are? It ain't the false religionists. It ain't the murderers. It's the angels that fell. They'll never have the forgiveness that you have. They stood in the throne room of God and caused trouble. They'll never have the forgiveness you have. How about the angels that will be there in heaven with us? There's going to be songs we get to sing in heaven. They don't get to sing. There's ideas and things that we've had forgiveness. We've had the Lord's sacrifice for us. Even the unseen world would take a chance at what you have. Hey, how about this? If you could trade troubles with somebody, right? If you could trade troubles with somebody, wouldn't that just be easier? Man, I would love. You know, there might be a rich man out there who has a hard time walking. And I look over at him going, you know what? I could have a hard time walking and be able to feed the, you know, be able to provide for my family and have fun things, go on a mouse-themed vacation. Hey, why not? That'd be real good. I wouldn't mind being rich. And I trade problems with him. And what would I realize? His problems are 100 times worse than mine. See, again, it's like I preached a couple weeks ago. Your problem ain't your problem. Your problem is your perception of your problem. Be content. Well, yeah, other people, they still have this. They still have that. I've lost that. But what has God given you? Don't discount it. Don't discount 5 or 6 or 7 wonderful gifts because you lack one. Be glad. See yourself as blessed the way God has given you these things. The very fact that you have a walk with God, that you could have a walk with God. I mean, my oh my, if I found out tomorrow that God wanted to come and walk a couple miles with me, I'm setting the alarm, aren't you? If I could find out tomorrow that God was going to come and Jesus was coming back and He was going to be our president starting tomorrow, whoo! Right? Oh no, but Israel had God as their king. They were unhappy. They were unhappy. See, many people think, well, if God would just show His face, a lot more people would believe. I don't think so. Because Jesus was multiplying fish and bread and causing the lame to walk, and there was no doubt He was who He was, but guess what? We still managed to find some. We still managed to find some doubt. We still manage to show Him some ugliness. I think if the Lord came back today, He'd find just as much, if not more, ugliness than when He came the first time. Thankfully, when He comes back, He's coming in the clouds. He ain't going to have to deal with it. He ain't going to have to deal with it. Oh, we ought to be content. Whether we are full or hungry, we ought to know to be content. We ought to know how to be full. We ought to know how to be hungry. When people are poor, we always make that joke, ramen. Man, when I was in college and I was coming up, and not just college, when I was coming up, man, there'd be things I'd go grocery shopping, I'd make a meal once, eat the whole week off of it. You know what I mean? I found 7 different ways of making ramen. All of it included what spices I put into it. Right? You learn. And then some people go, well, when you're rich, you got to learn how to be rich. You got to No. You got to know how to be rich. You got to know how to have money in the bank account. Number one rule of having money in the bank account, it don't got to leave. It don't got to leave. You just be happy with it. Do I need another fall decoration? Do I need another this? Do I need another that? You know, I've got 12 of those. Do I need another one? Yeah, but I don't have it in green. You know, that's what gets people in trouble. Whether you are full or whether you're hungry, you need to know how to be. Right? We used to have this saying in our dorm room. When it was payday, it was rich people got to know how to be poor. right? So we would grocery shop together, me and my roommate. We'd grocery shop together. We'd put things together because we just planned things. And he showed me a lot of different things to do and worked out real well. But then when payday was gone and we'd done our grocery shopping and we'd paid the bills and whatever we had to do for the dorm, poor people got to act like poor people. It don't change. It don't change. You must still be mindful, must still be diligent in the things that you're doing. I want to go back to Philippians chapter 4. I'll look at verse 8. I saw a joke on the internet. It said, remember, preachers, you get an extra hour. I'm dangerously close to that not being a joke. So, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. How can I be content? How do I become someone who is content? Because up to this point, we have all said, yes, all right, brother, I can admit there are moments where I'm not content. Yes, I know that the important thing is to be grateful for what I have, to count the things that I have, to put value in the things that I have. But how do I live contentedly? Number one, what are the kind of things you ought to be thinking about? Because the battle of contentment is won or lost between the ears, my friend. It is lost right here in this impulse control. And giving into impulses, we teach the brain, much like we would a child. Right? If you say yes to a child for everything, can I stay up late tonight? Yes. Can I have 5 more minutes on top of staying up late? Yes. They will learn that bedtime is not bedtime. Can I have a piece of candy before dinner? Yes. Can I have a piece of candy before dinner today? Yes. Enough days together? That's a normal thing. The rules ain't the rules, and whatever whim we want, we give into. You can't raise a child that way. You can't live that way. Telling yourself yes for every little thing, even though you know you shouldn't. If you know you shouldn't, that should be an automatic no, am I right? Should be an automatic no. I'm late. Can I drive 90 down Saginaw here? That's an automatic no. But for some, I've got on camera, they don't understand that. Impulse control. So thinking, what should I think on? Number one, things that are true. Things that are true. Number one, thinking about biblical truth, thinking about the real truth of my needs or my wants, right? Do I really want this? Or do I just want to feel tingly for a second? I've noticed that about people who buy too many things. They'll buy them and then they'll store them. Having helped a lot of people move who are of a hoarding behavior, and having evicted some people of hoarding behavior, I've learned that they purchase those things out of need. They keep them out of need. But the choppers, the hoppers, the remote control, this or that, never leaves the box. You know how many QVC boxes full, freshly shipped from the company I've moved out of somebody's house? How many evictions I've done where they had television stored in the back closet that had never been opened? It happens a lot. I'll even have people that used to owe me money, and we'd have all the bigger packages or all the packages delivered up to the office because we'd have issues with people stealing the packages. So people would come and I would sign it in and they would get an email and a text on how to come get it. And we would always make sure that they got their stuff the same day. And it was a really good program. But I'd have people that owe me 2 or 3 months worth of rent showing up to pick up large packages every day. And part of it, I was thankful because that means I didn't have to call them. While they're sitting there signing out their big, one lady, it had to have been one of the biggest TVs I've ever seen in my life. She owed me two months worth of rent, had something like this, man. It was huge. Like, it took 2 of us just to slide it back. I'm sitting there, I'm pulling it out for her. She goes, hey, can you guys deliver that? Tell the maintenance guys, I'll give them $20. You better believe I looked up that TV. That would have paid off her rent. That would have paid her off and had a little extra for the next month. Sometimes people ain't buying because they need it. It ain't the truth. They're buying because it gives their brain the electricity. Just the bzzz. Is it true? Do I need a foot-long A&W today? Is it true? Do I need this? Do I need that? Well, not that you'd only ever purchase things that you need. Sometimes you purchase that. There's a line, and I think you guys understand what I'm talking about here. There's a line. What am I doing? Is it true? Is it honest? Right? Am I being honest about my desire for it? Is this a real need that I have? Do I need five of them? Do I need this? Or do I need to order the large? Do I need that? Do I need... Be honest. How about just? Things that are fair. Think on things that are fair. I mean, again, if you put your mind to things that are true, things that are honest in Scripture, it'll be easy for you to be true and honest in your life. If I think of things that are fair concerning Scripture, I'll be able to think of things that are fair in my life. Is it fair for me to have this? Is it right for me to have this? I think again of family. Again, I got off the phone with my mom last night talking about inherited stuff. You want to irritate me? Let's talk about some inherited stuff. You know what my stance is now because of the way some of my family members have been on things? Don't you put me in your will. Don't you mention me at all. I don't want your knickknacks. I don't want your tchotchkes. I don't want your dining room table. I don't even want your coffee table. I will come help you clean out. I will load up a dumpster. I will load up a moving van for you. I will help you do whatever you want me to do. But don't you dare put my name down for anything, because I'm tired of the arguing. Maybe your family's more put together than mine is. My grandma, she lost a whole bunch of stuff that was supposed to be inherited to somebody that she inherited it. So she got it set up, accused everybody of the family of stealing it. I'm going to tell you right now, she had that stuff hidden in her basement. Accused everybody of stealing it, she hid it in her basement. So I sit there when it comes down to stuff. Well, when so-and-so dies, what do you want? Ain't fair for me to have it. I didn't buy it. I don't need it. Like, you go over to my house right now. We got some things in our house we bought. Who's it fair to have? Me. It's fair for me and my wife to have it. Why? We bought it. Is it fair for me to have this? Is it fair for me to have that? Is it fair for me to be able to sit there and say what the kids say so often? That's not fair! What is fair? What is fair? I'll tell you what's fair. I got clothes. You know I got food. I got cars. I've got heat. And I'll tell you this, if the heat ever goes out, I got enough wood to keep the house hot. You know what I'm saying? We have what we need. Is that not fair? You ask me, it's not even fair because I was born with nothing. Right? Were you born with stuff? You were not born with stuff. And yet you had somebody who clothed you, took care of you. Might not have been perfect. It might not have been great. Maybe you come from a messed up background. But hey, you made it. You made it. You're here. Which is something that a lot of kids can't say. Something that a lot of kids never got the opportunity to do because they didn't have what you have. We need to be content. Now, I never do this, but I've got another 2 pages of the sermon, but I'm going to quit it here. Never do this. We'll finish it tonight. How about that? Let's be content. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We're so grateful. Lord, please help us. Help us to see what we have. And help us, Lord, to blame it on you. You've given us so much. Lord, help us to be grateful. Help us to look at these things and put value to them and take care of them and be respectful and resourceful with those things. Oh, Father, please help us never fall into being discontented. Lord, if we love you, we will honor you. And Lord, with all that you've given us, there's no other way to respond to you than with honor. Thank you, Father. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.